We'll take your calls throughout the 5 o'clock hour. 888-957-9570. Is this the matchup? Is this the worst matchup the Niners could have had? Is this the matchup you want? Somewhere in between. I've arrived at a spot where I at least think, if we're talking Bears or Eagles, and I fully understand the opposite point, I just don't quite share it. I want a game that is probably not going to get away from you. And I'm not saying the Eagles aren't allowed to score 35 points. They could. The Niner defense is that messy. So they absolutely could, but I think it's likelier to at least stay in the neighborhood, give the Niners offense an opportunity to sort of find the holes, find the spots, do what Kyle Shanahan likes. Maybe you get a lead. I'll make another point about the Eagles. They're pretty messy special teams. Their fan base is pretty ticked off at their kicker. I mean, you want to know what the unsung hero of the Niners season is this year?
Special teams.
The kickers on the other teams have sucked. And, like, it's just a fact.
Field goals against.
Field goals against. I don't even know what that is. That's dumb luck, but it's gone their way. They've had some weird games by the other kicker. They were in this game against Seattle because of weird game by the other team's kicker. That's real. And that is a possibility with Jake Elliott as well. He has had an inconsistent year.
Yeah, and that, some of that is luck, but also some of that is you playing well on special teams. I think the Niners have at least one blocked field goal or extra point, maybe two on the season, where you got up there and you made a play, and so that's part of it as well. But some of those things are just, you know, football luck, quote-unquote, where the other kicker just misses, or the ball bounces and your guy is unable to recover the fumble, like against Seattle. Some of those things are just part of the nature of the game. So those things can always rear their head in a game like this, which it should be a close-ish game. 4.5 points is a spread, and Vegas is really good at nailing those spreads for the most part. I mean, normally when you see a 4.5 point spread, you don't see a team lose by 30 something really bad happens.
Look, again, I'm going to say this again. Every single team that plays this weekend's got a chance, even the Panthers. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They've got a chance. It's an oblong ball. These are teams that have been able to achieve some things, or else they would not be here. I know the NFC South is wonky. I know that the AFC North is wonky. But these teams, nothing would shock me. The Panthers would surprise me.
Oh, that would shock me.
It would not. It would not shock me. I know that this is a little bit of a sophomoric point. Maybe that's not the word. It's a simplistic point. They just did it 4 weeks ago. The Panthers just beat the Rams in that building a month ago.
But not in the playoffs. I mean, it's a whole different ball game.
Is it? I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the Rams had everything on the line. They were the one seed.
Right, and it's a regular season game, and football games matter. They all matter. There's only 17 of them, but you get in the playoffs, and you're 10.5-point favorites, and you go to Carolina, and you lose in that spot. I would be shocked.
I think that the metrics that you've been trumpeting all week suggest that this would be less shocking than what happened in the regular season. Playoff road wins are really hard. What's your metric about the big underdogs at home in the playoffs?
They cover.
They always cover.
Yeah, but they don't win. That's the thing. Seattle won. That was the one.
Yeah.
Where...
But that would, like, you're suggesting that this will be a one score game. You're suggesting it'll be close.
It could be a 10-point game. Yeah. It's 10.5. So I could see a 31-21 Panther cover.
I mean, I could see any of it.
Of course.
What I mean? Like, if Matt Stafford wants to go out there and throw a couple more picks, just like he did last time against Carolina, which Brock Purdy did against Carolina too. Like, yeah, it would not shock me. It would surprise me. It would not shock me. But, you know, when I look at that whole scenario, all of these teams have a chance. But if we're just going to go by the standard operating procedure, the Niners are not in great shape. So let me ask you this. Are the Niners being misperceived right now? And I mean that by, like you said, Vegas is expecting a 4.5-point game.
Yep.
Are they? Or is Vegas playing the people? Because Vegas plays people more than they play games. All they're trying to find is a spread that gets
equal action,
equal opinion on both sides. And the 49ers are a big brand with playoff resumes and all of those things, and therefore, I think a lot of people are like, ooh, the Niners. Like, I respect the hell out of this organization. But is this them? And again, going up against a really good defense, I don't know. I really don't. I don't know if this 49er team should be sort of assessed the same way other 49er teams should be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're being assessed by who they are, which is they're 12-5, and they've done the majority of this without Bosa and Warner, and they've done the majority of this with Mac Jones and then Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy's been, since he came back, he's been awesome, and they've been putting up a lot of points, and I do look at the spread, 4.5. 4.5 is... It opened at 3.5, and it got moved up to 4.5 because the money came in on Philly. I don't think it's going to climb all the way up to 7, certainly, unless unless news comes out about Trent Williams. That might move it up another half point or a full point. But to me, 4.5 is just a really interesting number. We always talk about the key numbers in football betting as 3 and 7, but 4 is another one where, you know, it's 7 versus 3. So if you get 28, and the other team gets 3 touchdowns and a field goal, 24, that's a 4-pointer. So 4.5 is kind of an interesting swing spread. If one team gets 4 TDs and you get 3 TDs and a field goal, you cover.
Well, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds of odds and numbers and all of that, but you can tell based on the odds that you get in making a certain bet, you can tell if a spread is starting to lean on moving one direction or the other. So if I ask you, in this moment, the Niners are 4.5-point dog, do you think that it is, right now, the betting is pushing it more toward 5 or more toward 4?
I'd say more toward 4. I think that,
it's actually more toward 5.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If you're a Niner backer, then sit tight and let that thing get to 5.
It's very narrow. It's barely.
Yeah.
But it is. Like right now, for those of you who speak gambling, the Eagles are -4.5, and you have to pay -112 for that.
Okay, and 110's the standard.
Right, and you pay -108 if you want to do the Niners +4.5. So it's very, very small.
Microscopic.
It's microscopic, but it's a little lean.
It's a teeter.
And I think you're spot on that we're waiting. The next thing that could move this is big injury news. So if tomorrow or Friday it's like Lane Johnson's in and Trent Williams is out, I think it goes to 5.
It could. Yeah, I mean, 4.5, like I was saying, is just a really interesting number. If you think that the Niners are going to be in a tight game, but they probably won't win, then you're tantalized by the 4.5. If you think the Niners are going to win, well, 4.5 doesn't matter. But if you think Philly's clearly the better team, 4.5 is a little bit of a tweener because they could be up 24-13.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
And the Niners can sneak in the back door with one of those, oh, by the way, touchdowns, and 24-20 is your final.
Well,
and Philly doesn't cover.
Right, and you're also talking about that over-under number, which is at 44, which tells you we're not looking at a high-scoring game.
Right.
And if you're not looking at a high-scoring game, and quite frankly, a high-scoring team, then, 4.5, 5 points, that's a lot to cover it. If you're only expecting them to score 20 or 24, that's a lot to cover a Niner team that often, not always, but often has a really easy time scoring the football. They score the football. It's a good offense.
It's a good offense,
Last week.
No, because the defense is one of the best, one of the two best defenses in football. And, you were throwing it out a couple weeks ago about, does defense win championships? And then you look at that game Saturday and Seattle's defense, they didn't win the championship, but they won the game. They won the day. Seattle's offense was, they were fine. They were better than fine. They were good, but it was the Seattle defense that won the football game.
No doubt. I thought Seattle's offense was efficient.
Yeah.
And then, what's the word? Did not do a good job of taking advantage of their opportunity.
No, two missed field goals. That's actually a bunch of words. Yeah. Well, and a 4th and 4 that they went for it, and they could have taken 3 there. So they left some points on the board. Just looking at the other matchups, Houston and Pittsburgh over-under of 39.5.
Oh, well, for crying
out loud. Yeah, I mean, set your clock for a slobber knocker.
Well, neither of these offenses move the ball very well. The Houston defense is fantastic. At the same time, though, did that feel weird the other night when the Steelers were playing the Ravens? And, everybody's struggling for points all night long, and then they get to the last 6 minutes of the game, it's like,
Totally.
Boom, like everybody, just touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then the kickers are like, we don't want to play. And then boom, that's it. John Harbaugh's fired.
Yeah, I mean, poor Boswell of Pittsburgh, he misses the PAT. And you could see him like, oh, I might not make it out of here alive. Like, what's going to happen? They're going to go down and kick a field goal. We're going to lose and it's going to be my fault.
You know what's weird about this? This is a complete, like, sidebar. Sidebar. Did Lamar Jackson want the field goal to go in?
I think so.
But he doesn't. He like, I'm at odds with my coach. I don't want this coach here. Well, if that field goal goes in, are the Ravens then powerless to move on from him?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously they wouldn't have fired him this week. You still can after the year. But what if they start winning playoff games?
Yeah, you might be in a little bit of a spot. But
I wonder.
Yeah, I can't imagine a competitor, a football player is thinking, yeah, let's go ahead and miss this so I'm out and so I can get rid of my coach.
I don't mean like in the moment, but I mean kind of looking back on it. I wonder if Lamar, like if you had asked Lamar, I guess this would be the question. As you sit here today, would you rather be playing Houston or looking for a new coach? What makes you feel better about your personal future?
I'll be playing Houston.
This weekend's playoff game or getting a new coach and a fresh start.
This weekend's playoff game.
I guess.
And, you know, you can always...
They weren't going to run the table.
Right. And if you're going to run Harbaugh, then you can do that at any time unless he goes out and he wins the Super Bowl. But, you know, other than that, the writing was probably on the wall. I was a little surprised that it happened, but that all went down the way it did.
One other thing I'm sort of seeing, and maybe this is just sort of a lot of the recent engagement we're getting, but we can throw this out to everybody as well. At 888-957-9570, Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line is getting a lot of stuff like this. This is just an example in the most recent that came in. 510, really appreciate you listening and engaging with the show. Niners could get a break in this game, just like Philly has coming in. A player on Philly could get hurt and change the whole game. Now, true.
Yep.
Is that where we are as a fan base?
You're hoping that Hurts gets Hurts.
Not hoping. My point is do you feel like the Niners have to get lucky in order to win this game? I don't feel that way. I get the sentiment. I really do. I think that all success in sports calls for some breaks. It calls for some things to go your way. The Niners have already had that this year. We've talked about the missed field goals, the drop passes, Marvin Harrison, etc. Like, okay, you know, a fumble bounces this way, whatever, you grab it, you don't grab it, is that luck? But I think that text goes to the conversation we were having yesterday where the recency bias of what happened Saturday night has a lot of Niner fans feeling like they don't really have a shot this weekend.
Yeah, which I think is misguided. It's a little bit of a misjudgment because you mentioned the game earlier when you went down and you took on the Rams with Mac Jones, and I certainly didn't think that you were going to go down and win that game. I thought the Rams, much like Bucky Brooks, were the best team in the division, and I thought the Rams would put it on the Niners, and it didn't go that way, and you had to gut it out, and you got the win, and it's football, 60 minutes, and you just never know what's going to happen. I don't look at this game and think, oh boy, I mean, 4.5-point spread, why even bother going out there? Your offense can be explosive, and if you're able to use Kyle Shanahan's brilliance as a play caller and an offensive line that's actually able to execute. And you know the blueprint. You get the lead, you run the ball, you keep the lead, you run the ball, and then you build on the lead or you keep the lead and you run the ball. And next thing you know, you win the game.
Check this out. I'm going to say as many as 5 times this year, and I wonder if you'll agree with me, as many as 5 times the 49ers this year have won when I kind of thought they were going to lose.
Okay.
5 times. Because that's what you're kind of asking for this weekend, right?
Basically.
You're the underdog. I think a lot of, you know, rational human beings are like, probably not. Like, that's kind of where I am. Could they win? Sure. Sure. They've got a shot. I can see it. Are they going to win? I mean, probably not. They're not supposed to. 5 times this year, I think the 49ers have won when I at least sort of thought it probably won't.
Okay, I've got my list in front of me here, and
let's see if it matches.
Every game, and it's what they did on their opening drive, it's what they were at the half, and how things eventually wound up. So go ahead, Mark, give me your five.
Okay, the opener at Seattle. I was like, oof, and I'm trying to think back. I can't even give you all the X's and O's of why. I just remember at that time feeling like with all the wide receiver drama and injury and everything going on, Seattle, tough place to play. We knew Mike McDonald's defense had given Brock Purdy trouble in the past. I was like, I could see the 49ers losing that game. They won. That's one.
Niners favored by 2 in that game, yep, at Seattle. They led after they scored on their opening drive. Then they were down 10-7, down 13-10 with 3.5 to go. 68-yard drive, touchdown, Tonjes, Niners win.
Yeah.
So that is definitely one.
Second, week 5, Thursday night at Los Angeles Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, that one's easy. Everybody thought they were going to lose that football game. Mac Jones getting thrown in there. Rams are dealing. I thought that they were going to lose that game. They won that football game.
I thought they were going to lose it 4 different times watching it. Up 17-7 at the half after a 14-0 lead. And then they led. It was tied. It went to overtime. You got the field goal. Here come the Rams to win it. Fourth down stop. You win?
Yep.
That was definitely the biggest surprise win of the year.
26-23. Now, follow me. This will sound weird, but 2 weeks later, at home against Atlanta, Sunday Night Football, remember, Fred Warner has just had his ankle turn the wrong way the week before. And the Niners could not run the football. Atlanta at that time had not totally fallen off of the map yet. I don't remember what the spread was in that football game, but if you remember, that was the first game. That was George Kittle's return, I believe, and the Niners ran the ball really, really well when they hadn't all year.
Niners by 2.
Okay.
Your boy McCorkle, Mac Jones. Kittle, 2 targets, no catches.
Yep.
McCaffrey goes 24 for a 129 and 2. And, yeah, you were able to run it, including Mac Jones's 5 carries, 38 carries. And, yeah, you went out there and you handled an Atlanta team. You were only favored by 2 at home. That one's not on my list, but I like the explanation.
That's where I was coming from. Now I'm going to take you to week 13, and I'm going to blame you because
I
sit with you every day, and you'd been telling me for 3 months the Niners are losing this game. And then we get there, and don't forget what had just happened. The Niners had just beaten the Carolina Panthers, but Brock Purdy was god-awful. God-awful, and coming off of a short week, and headed for winter weather in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I let you get to me.
Well, and Purdy wasn't god-awful.
Yes, he was.
He had a stretch of 8 plays where he made multiple mistakes.
3
but beyond
interceptions.
That, he was actually really good.
I don't want to go beyond that. He threw 3 interceptions.
Right.
And they only scored 20 points against Carolina.
One was an amazing defensive play, as I recall. Yeah,
don't get duped. Brock Purdy was god-awful. Please, you're not going to hear me say that very often. Just let me have this one.
Okay.
Brock was terrible in that game. President of Broncos fan, he was terrible in that football game. I was there. And so that
guy was there too.
That you were. I drove you there.
Yeah, most of the way.
Well, no, actually.
I got out recklessly in the middle of the street.
You did.
I couldn't handle it anymore.
You should have seen the reckless stuff that happened after you got out. It was hard. That was hard. That was tough sledding.
Parking is hard.
Anyway. I let you and Brock get to me, and I thought, this Cleveland thing, this doesn't feel good. And the next thing you know, Brock's out there doing the Dougie.
He was doing the Dougie in the Cleveland game?
In Cleveland.
That's what
when
he did
it started.
The Dougie?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Well, if you remember that game, my prediction was looking pretty solid for a while, and they're down 8-7 in that football game. They trailed, I think, for about 31 seconds in the game. Because they got the Pinero kick before halftime. You led 10-8, and Cleveland didn't score again.
26-8, Niners win. And then the last one, I'm going to be real with you. After watching Grandpa Rivers at least have a really good first half, I was not feeling great about Sunday Night Football on December 28th and the Chicago Bears. And if you really take it a step further, after Brock Purdy's first throw in that game, I was really feeling sick to my stomach that the Niners were going to lose. So that's 5 times this year that I sort of had the same gut feeling that I have right now, and the Niners won all of those games. Now, the opposite is true, too. I would say there's at least one game where I thought for sure they were going to win and they lost. Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah, they were favored by 3.5 in that one.
Yeah, I thought they would win that game.
You know, that was the game where you came out, you kicked a field goal, they scored, and you were down 17-6 at the half. You just couldn't get the offense rolling. And as I've detailed many times, and including earlier today, when you trail at the half, you usually don't win. They won the opener when they trailed at the half. That was the only time they trailed at halftime and won the game. And that one just kind of, it got away from them. They crept closer. They were down 17-14. Then it was 26-14, late third. And at that point, you're down two touchdowns, basically. And this team's not built. I can honestly say they're not built for that.
They're not built for this.
And you lose 26-21.
Yep.
That's the one that I was surprised at was the loss at Tampa, where...
Well, okay.
That was Mac Jones.
Yep. And Fred Warner's injury.
Right.
Yep.
Right. But it was... And the spread was Tampa by 3. So you were a road dog, which at the time Tampa was still comprised and healthy. I think Bucky Irving was still there. And
Baker Mayfield was going to be the MVP.
That's right.
Yeah, at that time.
Emeka Abuka was like, wow, this guy's amazing.
They got players, man. Yeah. They do.
And, you know, you were down 7-0. You took the lead, then you were down 20-16 at the half. You cut it to 20-19 early third, and end of scoring, 30-19. And the Bucs at that time, I was thinking, we may have some action with the creamsicles.
Well, the Fred Warner injury to me very much felt like the Buster Posey injury against the Marlins back in 2011.
Scott Cousins.
Yeah. I just think that they're, like, if you remember, after that injury, the Giants just went on, they started losing games right away. And people who have been around that team will look back on it and tell you, like, it was just so emotionally devastating that... It just takes the wind out of your sails, and you don't play the same well. Now, this is a much smaller sample, but that's what I thought happened in the second half against Tampa Bay, and it's why I thought they were going to lose the following week against Atlanta.
Yeah,
I was just like, that is so devastating, and that moment will still stick out in my mind. My daughter's never going to forgive me. I sat there and watched it. I don't remember, the boys were out of town or something, but my daughter and I sat there and watched that Tampa game, and I've told you this story. I said to her 3 minutes before it happened, with all the injuries going on with the Niners, and I go, "Well, the guy they can't lose is Fred. They just that can't happen." And I'm telling you, it was 6 minutes later, he's laying on the ground,
8 snaps,
and she's looking at me like, "You mother jumper, like
you did that." Dad, you did that. You know you did that.
He's like, Dad, yeah.
8 snaps, and little did we know that the guy who would come in and play the remaining 45 snaps would become the mainstay, Tatum Bethune.
Yeah.
So Bethune comes in, and he played pretty well. I mean, you didn't get absolutely blasted by Tampa, but now it's no Bosa, no Warner, and you're right. The emotional letdown and the emotional hangover of watching your guy, your heart and soul, your defense get carted off. It's tough to recover from, but you're right. You know, you go out and you take on Atlanta the next game, and the defense was actually great in that game. You held the Falcons to just 10.
Yeah, the defense was really good. That was like the Chase Lucas play there against Penix, and really held him down. I thought it was a low point for Penix this year. I thought he was kind of making some people think some good things about him, and then that game happened, and then shortly after that, he got hurt. He's out for the year, and now everybody's kind of going, like, what's going on with Penix?
Yep.
Although, under the radar, the news earlier this week about their restructure of Kirk Cousins' situation, I think, re-clears the path for Michael Penix. The Falcons are going to cut Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
I guess. I mean...
Why not?
So they restructure him. Does that mean that they buy him out and he becomes a street free agent?
He's going to be a free agent, yes. And I fully believe he is going to be cut in March.
Yeah, and I guess that might make sense if the Niners wind up trading Mac Jones, as I think that they should. Get whatever you can get. And if you can get a second, it's worth it. If you can only get a third, well, it had better be a really good third-round pick, because if Mac Jones leaves as a free agent, you get a compensatory third, most likely. So if you're going to trade Mac Jones, make sure you get either a good third or something better than that. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no point.
I would prefer to keep him. But if they do get excited and somebody wants to do it too, then you could do worse than Kirk Cousins as your backup. Absolutely could do worse than, I mean, right? Shanahan knows all about him, loves him.
Oh, he's loved him forever.
And you're only asking him to come in and be a backup.
Well, you're asking him to play half the season.
Yeah, you're only asking him to play 8 games.
Right. Because, you know, your boy, in that toe, you know, toes are tricky. You never know.
Yeah.
Remember when Brock Purdy had turf toe?
I do.
And remember everyone saying, like, it's a career threatener. Patrick Willis, this could be the end. And, you know, that thing can linger throughout your whole career. And, yeah, all those things are true, but the toe, turns out the toe's just fine, my friends.
I wish that we
could. Got to be delicate with those calves.
I wish we could bottle up some of the injury fear, overwhelm moments that we've had just this season and keep them in mind. I know this isn't the way we work. It's not the way human beings work and certainly not football fans. But if we could bottle up our irrational behavior and remind ourselves next time, like we spent an entire week losing our minds about Christian McCaffrey, who has never missed a second.
The summit. Mid-summit.
Ruined it.
The thing came to a screeching halt.
Y'all don't even know what we had planned that day that never happened.
We actually did it.
We won.
No,
but there was other stuff. There was at minimum other discussions.
Right.
The whole thing got torpedoed.
Into a screeching halt.
By a guy who's going to end up having 400 touches. He already did, right?
Oh, he's already over 400,
right. Well, I mean, the season's over. So, yeah.
He might approach 500 if things go right.
Jeez.
Yep.
Right? And then the Brock Purdy thing, which was, remember all the, like, his career is threatened. And if you bring him back, you're putting him at risk. You've just signed him to a huge contract. We should just keep him for next year. I mean,
shut him down. Then Brock's toe. Maybe we should ride the hot hand. And also, while we're riding the hot hand, you could protect Brock's toe. Because that thing, you know, it could flare up at any moment. And that could end his career.
Producers, Grandy, Lucas, you guys should keep track of some of this stuff. Maybe you do. We should do something like at the end of the football year and have like the top five kind of stupid things that we all like bought into. And maybe it doesn't just have to be football. Like just in the last 3 months, I can think of McCaffrey is never going to play again. Brock's toe is going to hurt for the rest of his life.
I had Jake Moody as my fantasy football kicker.
Jake Moody. Give Jake Moody a chance. How about... You know what?
That was me, by the way.
You know what? I think this Kuminga thing might work out. He should just keep him.
You're rattling off all my takes. And it did work for a couple of weeks.
No, it was, I mean, during that time. First 5 games of the year. And I'll buy it. I sort of bit. I'm like, well, yeah, if, I don't know that this is going to continue, but if it does,
how about every sentence that started with, when Ayuk gets back. There's a whole file of, you know, when Ayuk gets back, you know, this receiving corps, you know, when Ricky and you are big on like, oh, Purdy to Pearsall, that's the thing. You watch.
But I'm not going to, like, yes, I was wrong.
There's two L's in Willard and two L's in Pearsall.
First of all, it's Purcell, as we're learning.
My bad. Purcell.
Oh, no, the Ricky thing sucks because he got hurt. And like, my point was, I still think everything I thought at the beginning of the year, I think he's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic.
In Madden. He's probably an 84 in Madden, I would imagine.
I also, like, man, I'm going to go to the grave with this one. Fighting tooth and nail. Brock Purdy was god-awful. Yep, you can keep it. And I know that's on you, Dibs. I saw you whispering to Grandy. Make sure you cut this. We could use it against him.
Trust me, I'm cutting that anyway.
Yeah, do it. Anyway, we get to the end of the year and players get blamed for their own injuries and I hate it.
No.
I get it. I get how frustrating it is and I'll never fully buy into the idea of injury prone, even though I do know it exists. Because I've also watched the opposite happen where dudes get branded as like it's never going to work, and then it does. Jimmy Ward is the most recent example. This fan base wanted to pitchfork John Lynch for keeping Jimmy Ward as their safety, as opposed to going out and getting Earl Thomas in free agency. And then Earl Thomas never played good football again, and Jimmy Ward was fantastic and part of a Super Bowl team. So, like, I've watched, I don't want that to happen to Ricky.
No, and it's not going to happen yet, but two seasons in, and he's missed about as many games as he's played. And so, yeah, next year, year three, and after that, you got to decide what you want to do with his contract and go forward from there and figure out if he's going to have the durability. Yeah. His ability is without question. And even look at it this year, 36 catches in 9 games, 528 yards. So if he plays 17, he goes over 1,000.
Yep.
He's got 75 catches most likely. I would bet he would have scored a touchdown at some point. Although, you know,
that's a crazy fact that he never scored.
No.
God, he scored last year. He scored last year when he barely played.
And Juwan, he got 7, so go ahead and cash me out one time on the incentive. He got 666 yards, yeah, cash him.
He got pretty much all of his incentives, or most of them, right?
Yeah, 55 catches, I don't know. And he played more than 66% of the snap count. Yep. So, yeah, cash him out all the way across the board.
Good. Maybe that like made him happier and he'll stay. I don't know. I don't know what the Niners are going to offer him.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, like, his leverage in this conversation has gone up with Ayuk and Pearsall, and what has happened with those two players. Juwan Jennings has a case right now that he did not have at the beginning of the year.
No doubt. And I also think that if I was building a case for him, the case is this is the receiver type you want. You want a guy who is not completely ball needy. I'm looking at you, Philadelphia. You want a guy who can play physically. Hello, Juwan, a fight against Seattle on the bench, like, after you blocked a guy into the fourth row?
Borderline too physical.
Right.
I mean, this guy this year, I mean, Cleveland accused him of being the worst human on earth.
Correct.
Seattle got into a fight with him on the sideline. Carolina punched him in the you-know-whats.
Yeah.
And then there's probably all the stuff we don't know that for sure happened.
Right.
Because we don't get to hear about all of it.
And when you're Shanahan and you're building your offense, you run a lot of 21 personnel, 2 running backs, and a tight end, which means 2 receivers. And if you're one of those 2 guys, you've got to block. You got to be feisty. You got to be tough. And DeMarcus Robinson quietly is a good blocker. And he ended up playing 14 games. So once he got over that little suspension thing, yep. When he got cleared and healthy, he is another guy who's kind of a prototype for what you want.
Yeah, good player.
Not ball needy.
Yeah.
He can block. And, you know, I think that he fit really well with the scheme.
888-957-9570, your thoughts on whether the Niners ended up with a good draw or a bad draw in ending up in Philadelphia. The more I talk this out, not like I'm kind of with people. I don't think that, like, oh gosh, somebody needs to get hurt and maybe the 49ers could get lucky. The 49ers are a good football team. They're a capable football team. Are they good enough? Probably not. And I don't even just mean this week. Like, the idea of the Niners winning 3 road games to get back to Levi's Stadium, and in this moment as we sit here, that feels far-fetched. But I don't really like to think about it that way anyway. Like, I'm doing my darndest to just be like, let's 1 week at a time. 1 week at a time. And can they beat Philadelphia? I give them a 25% chance.
That's a fair number.
I give him a 25% chance to win this game.
And the odds, as or not the odds, but the trend, as I was pointing out earlier, since they went to 7 playoff teams, the road team is 19-41 in those first 3 rounds of the playoffs, which is about a 35% winning percentage for the road team. This has nothing to do with the spread. So the numbers will tell you that road wins are hard. The Niners have 7 playoff road wins in their history. So if you're asking them to get to the Super Bowl, you're expecting them to have 30% of the road wins in history, unless somehow they, you know, get a matchup against Green Bay in the conference championship game.
Right. You're good at all the little math translations here. So the Niners to win the game are plus 195. Can you translate that to a percentage?
That would be 2-1. So I think that's about 33%.
Okay. All right. And again, that's just a betting line. That's just a betting line. But that's the money line number right now for the 49ers. Plus 195 to just win the game outright.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you go to implied probability. Boy, that's a lot of math in there. I love it. It'd be 100 over 295. 195 plus 100, that would be about a third. 33% roughly. Okay.
So I sold them short. But I'm Mr. Negative, so.
Always have been.
Yeah. Yeah, Brock Purdy was god-awful.
Yeah, 33.9 is the implied probability.
Okay.
Of a plus 195 okay. money line.
I mean, like that, listen, if we're going to agree, and I feel like most people have said this, it's a year that feels like every team has flaws. Now, Bucky said it earlier, he does not believe the Rams have flaws. I do. I think every team there has flaws. And if every team has flaws, then those flaws can be exposed in any given game. Just when I wanted to buy into the Eagles this year, they bit the hell out of me. And again, it's just like I had, and in fact, oh, that's right, Grandy. You haven't even brought this up. Grandy forgot. Remember when we were battling out in the survivor pool all year that neither one of us won? Because the fake person down the hall won the thing?
I saw him in the lobby on the way in today.
Yeah, he's AI. But anyway.
He held the door for me.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, what about it?
So the game that knocked me out of that survivor pool was Black Friday.
Oh, boy, against Chicago.
Eagles hosting the Bears. I had to go Eagles that
week.
That's
a dumb pick.
Well, I didn't, you took the Chargers that week. I had already used them.
Yeah, you got to be better.
Yeah, I do. I do. You got to be better. There's no, I mean, I accept it.
Philly favored by 7 in that game.
They're favored by a touchdown.
At home.
And they got worked. I know the score wasn't that bad, but they got dominated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they only gave up 281 yards on the ground. On the ground.
Hold on a second.
Only 281.
Did everyone hear what Dan Dibley, my partner, just said? I want you to say that again. The day after Thanksgiving, what did the Eagles do?
They lost to Chicago, Mark, at home. They gave up 281 yards on the ground.
Remember last week when it felt when it felt like the Seattle Seahawks would hand the ball to a running back and he would gash the Niners on every single play? That equaled 180. They gave up 280.
One.
You can get him.
281.
I think Trent Williams needs to play, but you can get him.
Okay.
You can.
Chicago's a team that actually can run the ball. The Niners don't really, they don't do that.
They do sometimes.
Yeah, but not.
They did against the Bears. They did against the Falcons.
Did the Niners have 281? Ever?
No. Well, they don't. No. They didn't try to do that.
The Niners' best game this year was against Chicago.
Yes.
They ran for two bills. A clean 200.
Listen, all I'm saying is when people go, hey, Philly's got an elite defense, I disagree. They've got a good defense.
Yeah, I don't think it's elite.
You can't give up 281 yards on the ground in a football game and call yourself elite. That's the easiest way to get demoralized in an NFL game, which is to let the other team run the ball at that kind of a clip. That's a really outlandish number.
It's humongous is what it is. And all these things, football's a week-to-week league, as we like to say, and that was a week where Philadelphia was not at its best on defense. 22 for a buck 30 for Manungai, 18 for a buck 25 for Swift.
Dude, they were crazy.
They had the ball for 40 minutes, and so you get to a point kind of like the Seattle game against the Niners where your defense is so beleaguered. They've been out there all night. It's like, here's 5, here's 11, here's 12, here's 6. It's like, yeah, you get demoralized, and Chicago is humming.
Let's go to Matt in Fremont. Hi, Matt. Thanks for the call. What you got?
I just wanted to let everybody know who's a Niners fan. We should not be worried about what's going to happen this Sunday. We should not be worried about the Eagles.
Why is that, Matt?
So their run defense is probably I feel like they're a really bad run defense when it comes to very skilled running backs. Like we saw them against the Bears and DeAndre Swift put up 100 yards or something.
That's what Dibs was just talking about. Swift and Manungai both went off that day.
Yeah, so I'm like, we have the best running back in the league in Christian McCaffrey. So, and with Kyle Shanahan, like, we should be fine. Nobody should be worried. Maybe our defense. Like, that's the only thing. But, like, regardless, we're fine.
Yeah, that's a bit, Matt, thanks. Yeah. I think you're, like.
And I wouldn't say he's the best running back in football. He is the best at catching passes as a running back.
He's one of the best weapons.
Yeah,
he's,
no doubt.
Like, he causes matchup problems probably at as high of a clip as anybody else.
No doubt. And his season, 413 touches, 27th most in the history of the National
Wow.
Football League.
That's big. That's big. Yeah, Matt's being a little blasé.
Oh, I mean, the defense.
This is easy. I mean, Niners by 38, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, should be. I'm just harkening back to Tampa when they won the Super Bowl most recently with Brady. They won three road games. And then they had the Super Bowl at home. Slight difference, though. They beat Washington. They were 7-10. And then they went on the road and won two of the games, but they got the benefit of having to play one of those doormats. They beat the Saints. They were 13-5.
Yeah, they shot. Didn't they win at Lambeau?
And in the conference championship
game.
That's
the one that shocked me. Yeah. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Yeah, we got a game here in just over an hour. Giannis is in town with all of his brothers. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track and still have time for more of your comments. Niners and Eagles, good matchup, bad matchup, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs. And then, it's not about Jonathan.
It's the drama.
Well, I'm just ready for whatever it is to move forward. I think, like, whether you're a fan of Jonathan or not, can we all agree $22.5 million sitting on the bench watching basketball is inefficient?
It's a little bit like, I don't know if you ever watched the show Lost.
I do remember it, yes.
Great first, four seasons, and then you're so invested, and the show's gotten so stupid, but you just got to watch to the end, and you get to the end, and you're like, God, thank God that's over. It's a little like the Kuminga saga, where it's great. Oh, the upside, the potential, the ha-ha. He won a title. It's going to work this time. And now it's like, will this show hurry up and be over?
Look, I mean, I think that it's very fair to be mad about the way this has played out, but it has played out. So you can take this with you for as long as you want. If you think the Warriors were just, if they were mean to him, if they were unfair to him, if they should have kept him, if it should all be different, that's fine, but that's the way it's going to go. You're seeing this is a big story today. The Warriors are willing to keep Kuminga past the deadline. That is such easy code for
gone.
Y'all better up your offer.
Right.
That just means you don't like the offer as it sits, and so you're going to make it sound like, oh, we don't have to trade him. And who knows? Joe Lacob might be stubborn enough to not. But no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and you get to a garage sale and, you know, you want to buy something and the price tag is like $300 and you're thinking, I'm not paying $300 for that. I'll offer $40. And the owner's like, no, get out of here. And then you realize garage sale ends at $5. So you go back about $450 and all of a sudden that thing's been slashed down to $60. I'll give you $35. Sold. So deadline spur action, as you always like to say.
Yep.
It's a cliche, but it's true. And so when we get to JK Day a week from tomorrow, that's when the real action can start happening.
Warriors and Bucks tonight. Warriors live in 10 minutes. Steve Kerr tomorrow at 5. Herm Edwards tomorrow. Was that 3:15? Lucas? 3:30? When's Herm tomorrow? What time's Herm?
You better know now.
He's double-checking. Give him a sec.
Difficult for you guys to turn a microphone on.
3:15. You could also just check our text thread, which is what I just did.
I'm hosting a radio show.
Co-hosting. You're like my wife. Yeah, I need to go up and clean my closet. Our closet.
Does she not say I run this house?
Well, we don't really break that down, but yeah, she runs the house. But when it comes to things like our daughter, it's the whole culture of I, me, mine, and you're lapsing into it.
No, I'm laughing now because Grandy goes, by the way, also Kerr at 5. That was literally the start of the entire sentence.
Hello?
Sorry. Grandy, don't you ever listen?
Man, you really bookended our show in an ignominious fashion.
I just, you know, busy back here.
All right.
Major gaffe to open, and now he's just spit the bit. Very ungrandy-like.
Remind me what topic you guys talked about today. Who came up with that? Yeah.
Which one?
All of them.
Wow.
Okay.
That was a
flex.
Flex.
Super flex right there. I feel like this show got moved to Sunday night.
Who came up with that?
Grandy also thinks that Eagles fans suck.
Yeah, that was my take.
Huh. Fair enough.
You've never been to the Link. Have you ever been to the Link?
I have not.
Yeah, you should go
to the
Link.
I haven't been to Philly at all, actually.
You haven't been to the city of Philly?
No.
It's crazy.
Me neither.
It's a great city.
I actually take it back when I said earlier I've never been to Philly. I've been to Philly. But
did you say that earlier? I've always thought you've.
I did an arena league game.
I know that you've been to Philly. You've talked to me about being in Philly before.
It wasn't like I was actually, whatever. I was in Philly, but you fly in, you land, you get on a bus,
right.
You go to a hotel, and then you get changed, and then you get on a bus, and you go to a game.
You didn't like cruise around town very much.
Game over, you get back on the bus, you go back to the hotel, and that's it. I don't even think we slept there, actually.
No, because of Bruno, that's actually one of the travel cities I have actually gotten boots on the ground and spent a lot of time in. Hell, I got Italian dinners at his mom's house. Kind
strong.
Of, like,
would you say double-digit trips to Philly?
No.
But more than five?
Probably, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as outside California, is that your leader in the clubhouse on times visited?
Hmm. Well, I mean,
I'm not counting Vegas. Vegas doesn't count.
Vegas and Tahoe.
But even like Seattle or Portland, and like you were in Boise for a while, so that doesn't count because you actually lived there.
I worked there. Yeah, so there was a lot of Seattle.
Like you've got some Chicago in you.
Yeah, but Philly more. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Probably okay. Philly's been where I've been the most.
If I discount Minneapolis because my parents lived there, and I actually spent a summer as Danny the Nanny there. just quick story. There's a family in Marin, and they moved to Minneapolis, and so they didn't want their kids to sit around the whole summer not having any friends, and so they flew me out there for a month, and I was Danny the Nanny. Pretty fun.
I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get that out of my head.
Nanny Dibley. Yeah, Danny the Nanny.
Danny
just for a month.
Nanny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paid pretty well, too.
I'll keep that in mind.
New Orleans is the answer for me. I think I've been there 9 times.
Yeah, I've never been to New Orleans.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to New Orleans, and then USC ended up at the Orange Bowl, and so instead of the Sugar Bowl, we went to the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, tough life. Yeah, Miami was great, too.
Yeah, you wouldn't like New Orleans.
What do you mean?
It's just too much unmoored fun. It's a little too unhinged.
I'm not unmoored or fun?
You're a one Manhattan and an old-fashioned.
Well,
you like your one old-fashioned.
Well, that's me now. I was going to go to New Orleans 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was back when I'd have a second drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Here, Austin in Dublin wants to talk. Let's give it to Austin because we talk too much. Hi, Austin. What are you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
What's up? I'm good, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the game this Sunday afternoon. I think Kaiser White's a great signing. This guy was the front of that Eagles defense that went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and I know they lost, but I think he's a great signing, and I wanted to ask about D. Winners. He's still going to play. I thought if you guys had any information on that. And one last thing about Philly's run defense, I know they had a good game against James Cook, but they really haven't been good all year, and I think that offense, we should stop treating their offense like it's something that's going to explode eventually. It's not. The play calling, it's terrible. Jalen Hurts is nowhere near Brock Purdy's level. He's a terrible quarterback. He completed 0 passes in the second half against the Bills, and Saquon's not even a good running back. So I think it just comes down to how much our defense wants to play.
I hear you, Austin. Saquon's a phenomenal player. I don't want comments like that just going unchecked. Saquon's wonderful. Philly is dangerous.
Saquon's had a down year compared to last year, which was bananas.
He's not wrong that their offense has struggled. It has struggled at times, and so maybe that will help the Niners. As far as your D. Winters question, I'm not optimistic. I don't have anything firm. I am not optimistic. He did not practice today.
Yeah, doesn't look good. And, I think all eyes are on Pearsall. I think that Trent is going to play, just my gut. Purcell, I would bet he doesn't play.
I'm with you. Hey, real quick, engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game, and it's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. Earlier we asked, other than Jonathan Kuminga, who's been the most interesting Warrior player this year, Draymond, Jimmy Buckets, Brandon Pods, or other, someone else, and the winner is Draymond Green. 35.8% of the vote. Number two is Jimmy Butler, 22.9%. Number three is other at 21.1%. And then Pods comes in at 20.2%. So after Draymond.
Zemsky.
Yeah, it was after Draymond, it was very close. And in the comments section, a lot of your Will Richards are in there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Plural Will Richards.
I love it.
Yeah.
He was my other. And I guess I'm not that interested with Draymond anymore because it's kind of the same old story.
Well, but I mean, it's moving. It's evolving.
Yeah.
So
it's
devolving. Yeah, that's fair. All right, Warriors Live. Here we go. Warriors and Bucks tonight. That's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Warriors Live with Evan Giddings is next. Would you like to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm free.
So Steve Kerr and Herm Edwards.
All right.
Who will both be on the show. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.